children of what the Bible describes as the church. Okay, the Bible describes the church as the body, mm-hmm. right?
Amen.
And Jesus as the head.
Amen.
Okay. And so, as we talk about Jesus, the head today, I want you to remember that this basically is what we're talking. If I and I started to do. Pick out some pictures, you know. I didn't have individual pictures of AJ and Jordan, and obviously I didn't know Nathan and some of the other children are going to be here today, but mm-hmm. I started to pick out pictures and show that once you come to Christ, you see, once you become a Christian, you become a part of this body, you see.
Yeah.
And so this body would be comprised of people.
Amen. Amen.
You see? And so it's really not some, you don't get overly concerned, children, about how this thing looks. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? And so that's the reason I didn't try to get a bodybuilder or somebody. That's not the deal. Because the church really isn't a body. It's not that we're not strong.
Amen.
It's not that
Amen.
We're strong,
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
God is strong.
Yes. Amen.
And so remember this as we're talking to these children. That we're talking about the head of the body.
Yes.
Right? And you always want, you all know that when you see, if the head wants the left hand to move mm-hmm. and the right hand moves erratically, mm-hmm. we call that abnormal.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Uh-huh.
And so remember that what we're talking about is when the head and the body function together. That's
Amen.
Normal.
Amen.
And for the church, we are to function as the head wants us to.
Amen.
If the head wants the right arm to raise, then the right arm
yes.
ought to be raised. Okay? We function right when we do what the head wants. Okay? So let's keep that in mind. And I'm going to be saying a lot of different things, children, but I want you to remember that's basically what we're talking about, is what the head says the body should do.
Go ahead, brother.
Right? Now, with that in mind, could you find Colossians chapter 1? Now, text is going to be verses 18 through 20. And all of you that are able, would you stand? Colossians chapter 1, verses 18 through 20 will be our text for today. And again, I'm reading from the ESV, and it reads this way. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Amen.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the truth. Thank you for loving us and leaving the truth with us. And now, Lord, we look to you. We call upon you. Make your word and will clear and plain in our midst today.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
May be seated. Our subject for today is Jesus is the head of the church. Jesus is the head of the church. And I'm basically going to use these two fundamental truths to try to break apart these three verses, all right? The first thing is that we want to look at Jesus' relationship with the church, and then Jesus' relationship with all creation. All creation. Now, the church in the New Testament is described as a body, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the body, then the whole idea is that there's this two-way relationship between body members, or as I alluded to earlier, church members. Mm-hmm. There's to be two-way relationship, just as there's a relationship mm-hmm. between the heart and the lungs and the other parts of our body, okay? Mm-hmm. So the whole idea, when the Bible speaks of the church as the body of Christ, is that there's to be mm-hmm. interaction mm-hmm. between church members. Uh-huh. That's how we survive, yeah, right? Yeah. We were never intended to operate alone, you know? Mm. My thumb can't survive apart from my hand, uh-huh. and the hand can't survive apart from the body. It's never intended to be that way. So we can't think about ourselves that way. So the picture, God, and that's the Spirit of God gave us that. Mm. God, that didn't come from Paul, by the way. He isn't the author. He simply recorded what the Spirit of God revealed to him, right? Yes, so it's the Spirit of God that wanted us to think of the church as the body and to realize that every member has a duty. And here's the way he said it in Romans 12. Romans 12, verses 4 and 5. Listen to this. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. You see, you hear the interrelation?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We're all individual in the sense that we were born and born again if you're a Christian. And so you're individual, but you've been brought into a definite relationship with other people, mm-hmm. which makes us function together.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
When we were unbelievers, you were fragmented. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, the Bible says you were dead. You weren't even a part of the body. It's only when you are born again that you become a part of the body. Mm-hmm. All right? And so we're individually members of one another. That's very important. Mm. One another. Mm. The church is also not defined simply as a local gathering of people. Mm. Now the Bible speaks of the church at Corinth, of the church at Philippi, okay? And so it's true we can call Trinity Community Church a church, mm-hmm. okay? But the Bible also speaks of the church in a much larger sense.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Right? The church also involves Twin Oaks and New Hope Baptist mm-hmm. And the church at Ellisfield and on and on and on. Just in this area. But it's not just the church. Churches in this area, okay? There's many other churches on this little terrestrial ball on the earth that are also a part of the church. Well, I want to say something to you. Did you know that the church is larger than the people living on earth right now, the believers?
That's right.
I'm going to show you something. Now, I'm going to talk about this when we get to worship, you know, probably in 3 or 4 months. But I want you to see it right now. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Now, this is thrilling. This is absolutely wonderful. The church, I want you to see how massive the church is. You got Hebrews 12?
Amen.
I want you to find verse 22. And this is this pastor is writing to these Hebrew Christians, okay? And he says to them, you got verse 22? Mm-hmm. But you have come to Mount Zion, you got it?
Mm-hmm.
And to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You got that?
Yes.
And to innumerable angels in festal gathering. So when you gather, you don't just gather among yourselves. Mm-hmm. Keep going. And to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled where?
In heaven.
And to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect.
Mm-hmm.
When we gather, we join with all believers on earth and where?
In heaven.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
We can't think of us. That's the reason we can't do what we want to do.
Yeah,
we're a part of this massive
body that Christ has saved.
Amen.
We're just doing our part. But when we worship, we want to worship like God says, because that means that we're worshiping with everybody else. That we're, we're worshiping like the body is supposed to. So you can't bring anything you want into worship
come on,
say,
God.
I like it.
Come on.
No. God says you're worshiping with all of these saints and with the saints in heaven. They don't do what they want to do.
Amen.
So
Amen.
You shouldn't either.
Right. Amen.
Watch out, brother. Amen. That's right.
Isn't this wonderful?
Yes, sir.
Yes, we've been joined to innumerable angels and the saints of old. We worship with Abraham and Isaac and Sarah and Rebecca and this is one with Paul, with Moses, with David. We worship with all the saints right here, right now.
Yes,
amen.
This is tremendous. We've been joined to them. Now, when it comes to this relationship, Jesus' relationship with the church. So let's go back to our text in Colossians chapter 1. Jesus is referred to as the head. Right?
Amen.
The head. Now, the head implies that there's a real, living, interpersonal relationship with the body, right? You can't think of the head as just some isolated, really. When you talk about your head, you don't think of your head being over there and your body being over here. You think of your head because your head's attached to your body.
Uh-huh.
It's an integral part.
Amen.
Okay? So we're talking about the head, but the head is attached to the body. So the head, the picture of the head then is to imply that there's a close, personal, living relationship. Now, these three truths are evident when it comes to this relationship. We find this as revealed in the truths of the scriptures. First of all, then Jesus as head means that Jesus rules, right?
Amen.
The head in this context symbolizes rule and authority.
Amen.
But it's not just some rule. It's not just some authority. Jesus didn't just tell us some things to do. He is the ruler.
Amen.
He is the authority over the body.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
It's not Jesus and a pastor or Jesus and a group of church leaders.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's not Jesus and a high council. Jesus is alone as he rules over his body.
Amen.
Okay? And so I want to show you this clearly. Look at chapter 2, Colossians 2, verses 9 and 10. Colossians 2, verse 9. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority.
Mm-hmm.
All of it belongs to Christ. And what does it mean? Jesus is the source of intellect and wisdom. Isn't this great? We have been joined to him who is the source of all intellect and wisdom. You don't need to seek another source.
Amen.
Isn't this great?
Amen.
Jesus is perfectly omniscient.
Mm-hmm.
He knows everything about anything, anywhere, and anytime.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
thank you.
This is tremendous.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
You can't say it about anybody else.
Uh-huh.
Knows everything about anything, anywhere, anytime.
Yes, yes, yes.
Why would you want to be joined to anybody else?
Amen.
Why would you want to look to anyone else?
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Yeah, he's wonderful. He never needs counsel. Right? He never needs teaching. He never needs, Jesus is never confused, never makes a mistake. Isn't this great?
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
He never gets hungry, never gets thirsty. He never gets tired. He's able to do anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anything. Yeah. Anything that the head tells you to do, he gives you the ability to
Amen.
Do. It is tremendous.
Yes.
Jesus is perfectly suited to be the head of the church.
Yes.
No one else fits. No one else.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Remember that picture in heaven?
Yeah.
When,
yeah.
When they were looking for someone to meet the qualifications for, you know, of the Lamb, the Savior. Not only does Jesus meet the qualification to be the only Lamb, he meets the qualification to be the only head of the church. Yes, he does. He rules. And then, not only does he rule, but the body is dependent upon him. Right? There's another little passage in Ephesians chapter 4. And you've read this, but I want to just point it out to you. Ephesians 4, verse 15. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way, and look at this, into him who is the head, into Christ, look at this, from whom the whole body joined and held together. Mm-hmm. He joins us and he holds us together by every joint with which it is equipped. He equips us to do all of his will. Mm-hmm. When each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love.
Amen.
The body is fully dependent upon Jesus to supply all of our needs for spiritual life. All of them. All of our needs come from him.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. The body is also dependent upon him to bring the members in.
Come on, brother.
You see? That's the reason I don't fret myself over folks joining the church.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't want to build a church, do you?
No.
I've seen people build churches.
Mm-hmm.
And you talk about a mess of a body, a spastic body that's as crazy as it can be when people start building a church.
Mm-hmm.
But when Jesus builds a church, he's able to bring in
Amen.
The right ones that are necessary, you see, for the
Amen.
Triceps and
the hamstrings.
He knows how to do all that.
Yes.
He knows what's there. He knows where we're weak.
Amen.
And so he knows where this one needs to come.
Yes.
You and I look on the outward appearance. See, we'd be picking people like Saul. This
one come on.
I'm looking behind all that.
Amen.
Yeah.
You and I never would have picked illiterate fishermen to be the founders. Ain't God good?
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Probably some of us would have made it in either.
Amen.
You know, I know more about my history than you do.
Amen.
And I don't think I would have let me in if I was really on the
other.
I'm serious.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
But God.
Amen.
Sees beyond
yes,
that.
He does.
Sees what you can be.
Yes, he does.
Then he sees what you will be.
Mm.
He knows the end from the beginning.
Yes,
we're
Amen.
Still struggling with
uh-huh.
it. He already knows how it's going to come out.
Amen.
Yeah.
Isn't that good?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's the head.
Yes, he is.
That's the reason we're dependent upon him.
And
so the body must be submissive. Must be submissive to him who has all rule and authority.
Amen.
And then the body receives these benefits from heaven. I know you wonder, where did he get that from? Now, hopefully you already begin to get the sense of what I already told you, right?
Mm-hmm.
These benefits come from heaven. Why? Because where is Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
It's in heaven. Yeah, in spirit he's here with us, but he is physically in heaven. Let me show you what I'm talking about. You got Acts 1? Turn to Acts 1. Verse 9, got Acts 1, verse 9.
Amen.
After Jesus had risen from the dead and came and spending his last little bit of time with the disciples, in verse 9 it says, and when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Isn't that good?
Yes, yes, yes.
Wow! But he went away.
Yeah.
He died, rose from the dead, spent time with the disciples, getting his last bit of instruction and encouragement to them, and then he went into heaven.
Mm-hmm.
That's where he moved.
Amen.
Seated in the place of power in God.
Yeah.
Right? Isn't that good?
Mm,
and so these benefits come from heaven.
Uh-huh.
The benefits that you and I receive come from heaven.
Yes, amen.
He rules from heaven, and we wait for him to return from heaven.
Yes.
Right. Many of our blessings are spiritual, right?
Yes.
And God blesses us with every, how does Ephesians 1 say it? Every spiritual blessing in where?
Heavenly
places. Yes, he does. Ephesians 1:3. Every spiritual blessing comes from the heavenly places down to your address. And your address.
Amen. Amen.
This is wonderful.
Thank you, Lord.
And right here on Clayton Road, he sends these blessings right now.
Uh-huh.
Where does your joy come from?
Well,
where did you get it?
Well,
think election, redemption, forgiveness, all those great blessings mentioned there in Ephesians. Where did it come from?
Yeah.
Came from heaven.
Yeah.
He far knew you before you were ever even conceived, before your parents were conceived, before your grandparents and those before them. He already determined he was going to save you.
Uh-huh.
This is tremendous.
Yes, it is.
And nobody can stop it. Nobody. Didn't matter where you were born. It's irrelevant what your background was.
Yes,
he had determined he was going to save you.
Mm.
Nothing to stop him. Hell, demons, nobody can stop him.
Thank you, Lord.
Blessings come from heaven.
Yes, it is.
Heaven. This is amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I know that everybody doesn't know this, but many of you do. I worked for Southwest of Bell for 27 years before I retired. During that time, particularly near the latter part of that time, Southwest of Bell began to merge with other companies, began to buy other companies, even companies that were larger than we were, because they'd done a good job managing. Okay? And one of the companies that we bought early on, merged with, was Pacific Tail, California, and a few of those companies out there. Now, I was located in St. Louis. My boss was in L.A., was in Los Angeles. All of my evaluations, my raise, my salary increases, my promotion opportunities, they all came from where? L.A. I was blessed in St. Louis from L.A. You see? The source, you can be located in one place and receive blessings from another, but the blessing is just, I had people around me on other floors whose bosses were sitting right next, was seated not right next to them.
Uh-huh.
Well, their pay raise wasn't any different than mine.
Uh-huh.
Their evaluations weren't any different. You know what I mean? I mean, different in the sense of what it kind of worked me. It didn't matter where the boss was located, you see?
Yeah.
The same end result. We're blessed from heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is there. The real blessings. I'm thankful that God worked out this plan, and not you and me.
Amen. Amen.
We're blessed. We're blessed with this living relationship with God who is in heaven. When we pray, we say, Our Father, what?
Amen.
Who is in heaven. Yeah. Yes. We've got a real relationship with heaven, my friend. We're waiting to go there, but you already got a right relationship. Matter of fact, Ephesians says you're already seated with Jesus.
Seated.
We're already there because what? He's there.
Yeah.
And if you're in him, you're in him.
Amen.
Amen.
Isn't that good?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And then you got Jesus' relationship with all creation. Let's go back to Colossians 1. His relationship You see, Jesus not only has a relationship with the body, the church, he also has a relationship with all of creation. And this relationship is one that requires us to meditate on it, just as we do this relationship that he has with us as the body of Christ. Okay, it's just as true. His relationship with creation is just as true as his relationship with us as the church. All right. Now, you got Colossians 1? The second sentence in Colossians 1 says that he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. Mm-hmm. So first and foremost, Jesus is supreme.
Amen.
This is long before Diana Ross and that group.
Yes, sir.
See, and I'm going to tell you something. This is just a side note. You see, the great graces of God, people pick up on that. You see?
Mm-hmm.
They begin to name it. You see, when you don't have the Lord, you have to come up with a substitute.
Uh-huh.
You know? You're not gay just because you call yourself gay. Joy comes from the Lord,
Amen.
Not from a lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah.
Jesus is the only one that's supreme.
Mm-hmm.
We sang the song and he's an awesome God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You see, cars aren't awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Video games aren't awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you've been calling awesome is not awesome.
Amen.
Only God
yeah.
is awesome.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
God is awesome and nothing compares. Nothing
Amen.
Compares. But Jesus is supreme.
Mm-hmm.
You see this word right here? Protuo? Protuo? That's the way it's spelled phonetically. Obviously, that's not the way it's written in Greek. But the word is protuo. Protuo. It means to hold the highest rank.
Mm-hmm.
Not a high rank. The
yeah.
highest rank.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Right?
Thank you.
So that's where, like my Bible uses the word preeminent.
Mm-hmm.
Your supreme, whatever word you use, that's the idea.
Mm-hmm.
It's the highest position.
Yeah.
Jesus is supreme.
Mm-hmm.
There's none higher.
Mm-hmm.
He holds the highest rank over all natural and spiritual powers and principalities and authorities. He's above all of it.
Yes, sir.
The book of Isaiah, God says, heaven is my throne.
Uh-huh.
The earth is my footstool.
Yes, sir.
He's above the heavens of heavens.
Yes.
Right? God made it all. He holds the highest rank above all authorities in heaven, on earth, or under the earth. Things that are seen, unseen, present, past, future. He's the highest of them all. And then verses 19 through 20 give the reasons. He is supreme. And first of all, you see in verse 19, Jesus is supreme, this is the way I worded it, because all of God's character and actions are perfectly revealed in Christ. Look at verse 19. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. All of it. When you look at Jesus says, when you've seen me, you've what? Seen the Father. This is the way he acts. This is the way he thinks. This is the way he speaks.
Yeah.
All of God's character is revealed in Christ perfectly.
Hmm.
It's not like you and me. He didn't have flaws.
Mm-hmm.
Surely you know you got flaws.
Amen. Amen.
All of us want to reveal more of Christ's character. But Jesus didn't want to. He did. I mean, he didn't just want to.
Amen.
He did.
Amen.
You got it?
Yeah.
So that's one reason that he is supreme. The second reason I see there in verse 20, I word it this way. Only the death of Jesus
could bring about reconciliation. Mm-hmm. By the way, reconciliation means peace, and in this particular case, eternal peace.
Yes.
Only the death of Jesus could yes. bring about eternal peace to creation. Mm-hmm. Why? Because creation was cursed after Adam and Eve sinned. You know that? You read the story, right? After they sinned, they placed all of creation under the curse of sin.
Yes.
And only Christ, by his death, could pay price for that awful condition. Look at verse 20. And through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of the cross. By the blood of the cross. Romans 8 actually says that all of creation is waiting for our redemption. Did you know that? Isn't that good? All of creation is waiting for the day that you and I will be set free. Because that's when Jesus returns and we get set free, creation gets set free. Mm-hmm. The earth is going to be restored to the way it was.
Yeah,
no more dying limbs. Can you? It's hard to fathom what creation is going to look like without the effects of sin.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it? No more death. That's what the Bible said.
Yeah.
No more. Nothing dies.
Yeah.
When? Never.
Amen.
You don't die. None of other creation. This is wonderful.
Yes. Yeah.
To see pristine water and it's amazing. It's just phenomenal. Don't sometimes you begin to let your sanctified mind wonder. By the way, you do know that it's not just the new heaven. It's also what? In which we dwell. Isn't this good?
Yeah.
A new earth where we get to dwell.
Yes.
This is wonderful. He's Lord over all creation. And then, lastly, the resurrection of Jesus from the dead proved his power and authority over the last enemy. What's the last enemy? Death.
Yes, sir.
The resurrection of Jesus from the dead proved that even the last enemy can't hold him.
Mm.
He's Lord.
Yeah.
He's the Lord over death and the grave.
Yeah.
That's the point of verse 18. He's the head of the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. From the dead. Jesus is the beginning. This is, I wanted to say, I want you to think about it now. You got to think. You thinking?
Amen.
Yes.
Jesus is the beginning of the end of death.
Yes. Yes, right.
You see?
Uh-huh.
What do I mean? He's already conquered it.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a whole lot of folks yet to come that are going to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
He was the first.
Uh-huh.
But if you're a Christian, you're going to do the same thing.
Amen.
Death can't keep you.
Mm-hmm.
Can't keep you? Can't do it. Isn't this good? Can't. Doesn't matter how much hell wants to hold you.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter how much Satan has worked to try to once you've been forgiven, you see, and he tries to work all these temptations, and we don't succeed all the time, but once you're forgiven, the blood covers that.
Come on.
And God, when you die, God says, you belong to me. You're going to rise. Jesus is the first one to conquer death in the grave. The first to be raised from the dead with a spiritual body. No more hunger, right? No more thirst. No more pain. Never to die again. He's the one who took away the sting of death.
Yeah.
The fear. The Bible says that we lived in fear of death until Jesus came to say,
sir.
You don't need to fear the grave anymore.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yeah, that's right.
The doctor gives you the worst prognosis you could ever hear.
Yeah.
It's not as bad as you think.
Mm.
Everybody's going to die with
something. Yes,
but Jesus says, even if you die, you will what?
Live.
Yeah.
You die, you will live.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
That's
yes,
good.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
You will live. Because Jesus lives. Jesus holds the highest rank. Holds first place. First place. No one higher. God has exalted, highly exalted him, right? Given him a name that's higher than any name. That's what? At the name of Jesus.
Yes,
every knee.
Thank you, Lord.
Every knee will bow.
Yes.
Every tongue confess.
Yes.
He's Lord. Well, you know also, before I retired from Southwestern Bell, they didn't stop with Pacific.
Mm-hmm.
It merged with other telephone companies. I don't know if you knew this. You know, and with Ameritech, you know, that's Illinois and those companies over there. They're Michigan, Michigan Mail, and other locations. And so we got Ohio and California, Missouri, Oklahoma, Kansas, all of these states. And international activity, right? Mm-hmm. I was involved in some international activity before I left, but we got works going on in Africa and India and around the world. Do you know what? They all reported to a little Texan. Mm-hmm. 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 It was Ron from San Antonio, Texas. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The CEO of this massive network was located in a town that didn't even have an international airport. Mm-hmm. So when I say Jesus is not just the Lord of the church, he's the Lord of everything.
Yeah.
And he's running it from heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
From heaven. Mm-hmm. And it really doesn't matter what you think of heaven. He's doing it.
Amen.
So it didn't matter what folks thought of San Antonio. Ed Whitaker was running, coming. It really didn't matter what you thought of Ed Whitaker. He's proven that he knew how to run a company. As a matter of fact, he retired, and General Motors said, "Why don't you come and help us?"
Wow.
Now, obviously, you know I ain't bragging on that footage. I'm bragging on Jesus.
Yeah,
I'm just trying to show you how it works.
Amen.
When you do it right, let him talk.
Amen.
Because the evidence is in
Amen.
The works.
Yeah.
Jesus said, "Look at my what? Works.
Works.
Jesus is running his world.
Amen.
And he's doing a good job.
Amen.
He's doing a wonderful job. Wonderful job. Therefore, I say to you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, because you are a Christian, you are in the body of Christ.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
We are joined to each other for ministry, and we're joined to Jesus Christ to give us wisdom, guidance and hope and encouragement. We're joined to Jesus because we need power. Don't you need power?
Yeah.
We need power to live each day.
Oh, yeah.
You're joined to him because we look to him for everything necessary to do his will.
Yes.
His will have his provision.
Yes.
Because if the head determines you should do it, he gives you the resources.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes. Jesus is the head and we are the body. He's perfectly able to lead us in a victory. Victory. You hear me?
Yes.
Victory over Satan. Victory over sin.
Yes.
Victory over the flesh. Victory over the world. Victory
yes.
is ours
yes.
in Christ. Yes. We are more than conquerors. We overwhelmingly conquer
yes.
through Christ.
Yes.
Christ in us.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nothing can overcome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Death, life, angels, principalities, power.
Nothing
yes, separate
yes,
us
yes.
from the love of God,
yes.
which is in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
You believe that?
Amen.
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 And so, with all that in mind, I say this to you. We must trust him completely without fear. You see, it does no good for you to sit here and agree with me if you're not going to trust him.
Amen.
You see, if I can animate my arm could sit here and agree all day that this is Willie's head. But if my arm is going to do its own thing, then it doesn't matter that you, because the arm says, I agree. I'm located. I'm on this body, and I'm going to do what this head said. Unless you're going to do it, it's irrelevant.
Yes,
and it's the same with you and me. You sit here, and just because you agree with what I said, if you don't plan to live that way,
then
it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Well,
it's just empty words.
Mm.
The Bible clearly says to whom much is what?
Yeah,
given. Much is required.
Yes, sir.
Much is required of us. Much is required of us. We got to trust him completely. So here's my question to you. What is Jesus calling you to do?
Yes, sir.
You see, when you get done with all the teaching, the issue now is, so what am I going to do about it?
Mm-hmm.
You see? If you're the hand or the foot or the mouth or the ear, what is Jesus calling you to do? How long are you going to wait? Before you, if you know the head is calling you to do something, then why aren't you doing it?
That's it.
Why? If you know that the head runs things, why don't you spend time to find out what the head wants me to do? Not what Billy, not what somebody wants you. Why don't you find out what he wants you to do?
Yes, sir.
That's all that matters.
Yes.
People are going to talk about you.
Yeah.
Did you know that? It doesn't matter. They're going to talk about you regardless.
Yes, sir.
But you need to find out what the head wants you to do.
Know it.
That's the real joy.
Amen.
That's joy.
Yes,
amen. Joy. I mean, they talked about Christ.
Yeah.
They talked about the head. And so Jesus says, if they did this to me, surely you know they're going to do this to you. So, you need to determine what Jesus is calling you to do. Is he calling you to take a step of faith? Is he calling you to extend a helping hand to someone in need? What have you been waiting on? See, if the head says, stretch out your hand, why have you done it? Why would you not obey the head? When if he says do, you say, well, we're financially strapped as it is. If the head says do it, it means that he's got the resources.
Yeah. Amen.
So why do you lean to your own understanding when he says, what? Trust me with all your heart.
Yes.
I'm the head.
Yes, Lord.
I'll direct you. I'll direct you.
Yes, Lord.
I'll direct you. Is he calling you to encourage someone without hope? Don't say you don't know anybody like that. Is he calling you to take the gospel to somebody who intimidates you? Don't say you don't know anybody like that. Is he calling you to forgive someone who's deeply hurt you? Don't say you don't know anybody. So the question still is, will you trust the head completely? If you're not a Christian, you have a wonderful opportunity today.
Amen.
Jesus can become your head.
Amen.
You can become a part of his body.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
Amen.
You can make him Lord and Savior of your life. You can become a member the body of Christ and find true fulfillment in life. Oh my. I'm going to tell you.
Yes.
You know, Southwestern Bell put me on the fast track. But man, they wanted me to be upper management. When Christ saved me, I had to take myself off the fast track. Because I wasn't willing to do what they required. I didn't lose anything. I had real joy. I'm telling you, if you're not a Christian, there's no way for you to know what fulfillment in life is until you come to him.
Yes, Lord.
You'll never find it in a career. You'll never find it in the right spouse. You'll never find it in the right house. Or the right. You know what I'm saying. Many of us have pursued those things. And it's not there. It's not there. But oh, you'll never be disappointed with Jesus.
Amen.
He fulfills all of your expectations. But you must believe the good news of the gospel of Jesus. He's the only Savior, the only one. He's the only one that paid the debt for you. And he's here to save you right now. Father, thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
For the grace that saves us, the grace that keeps us, and the grace that will take us home. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for bringing us into your body and being our head fully, completely capable of leading and ruling your church. May you be blessed and praised forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Let's bow together for just a few minutes and
think about these truths.